We're studying the book of Ephesians on Sunday mornings. If you will turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 6 through 14, but I want to begin reading at the beginning of the chapter, Ephesians chapter 5, and reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers or partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord. It is certainly significant that the very first recorded words of God that we possess are, "Let there be light." And this creative word immediately followed by his assessment. God saw the light and saw that it was good. And that significance is underscored when we come to the last chapter in the Bible and we hear God's promise concerning us as his children that we will see his face and that there will be no more night, that there will be no need for lamps or even the sun, for the Lord God himself will be our light and we will reign with him forever and ever. Paul is quite aware of this significance, and so over and over he uses the language of darkness and light. When he discusses our conflict with the evil one, later on in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." He sees the light as something that protects us. Romans 13, verse 12, "The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." He sees the gospel in terms of darkness and light. 2 Corinthians 4, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He sees our whole Christian life in terms of darkness and light. 1 Thessalonians 5, "For you are all children of light, children of the day. For we are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. And this is what Paul is doing here in Ephesians 5. He's reminding us that we are light in the Lord, and he's calling us to walk as children of light. Now, what Paul says here in these verses is pretty much what Paul has already said in chapters 4 and 5 here of Ephesians, to walk in unity, walk in holiness, walk in love. But now he puts it in terms of darkness and light. He calls us to walk as children of light. And so just generally looking at this passage and making four observations about our life in the light. Looking at this, we see again the value of looking at before and after pictures. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And we've talked about the value of before and after pictures and comparing the two. And that's what Paul is doing here. He does it over and over. It's as though Paul reaches into his back pocket and he pulls out his wallet and he takes out two pictures that he wants to show us. He says, you know, he wants to see the man that he once was, but then at the same time, he wants to see the man that he is now in Christ. And so he's looking at these before and after pictures. Now, there's real value in doing that. I was asked by a family from another church to officiate at a funeral for a man who was not a member of our church, but he attended here from time to time because we were a bit more conservative. And the funeral was held downtown at a funeral home. And the next Sunday after the funeral, the family came to visit here at Church Creek. And after the service in the morning, somebody in the family remarked, you know, our service at our church is very much like yours. You know, we sing hymns and psalms and we read scripture and there's prayers. But he said, there's one big difference. We don't talk about sin anymore. And he was saying that in a positive way. He said, all of our sin is gone because of what Christ has done for us, and so there's no need to ever mention that again. Now, Paul doesn't agree with that, does he? He's forever pulling out these two pictures, the before and the after picture. He sees the value of looking at the old and the new, and he's done it several times already here in Ephesians. Look back at chapter 2. He says, and he reminds the Ephesians that he's writing to, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all, he's recognizing he's not just talking about these Gentile Ephesians, Paul's talking about himself now as a very religious person. He says, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. This is what you were, this is what we were, dead in our sins, but here is the after picture, made alive in Christ. He does it in chapter 2, verse 12. Remember, take out that old picture, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Chapter 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous. They've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Verse 20, but that is not the way that you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, put off the old man. Verse 24, put on the new man. At one time you were darkness. At one time you were this old person. At one time that's what you looked like. That's what I looked like. But now you are light in the Lord. You know, don't be afraid to pull those pictures out of your wallet. Don't be afraid to take that picture of what you used to be and the picture that you are now and look at the two. Just don't be afraid to take out that old picture, the one of you walking in darkness. Take it out. Look at it. Remind yourself, as Paul does here, I don't ever want to look like that again. Secondly, the picture that Paul presents here is the contrast between darkness and light. He says, at one time you were darkness. It's not that you once lived in darkness. He says you were darkness. That was your identity. That's who you were. That's what characterized everything about you. It's what dictated how you would live. And as he's already said, you were so dark, so far into the darkness, that you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And you were compelled, you were being driven to disobey God. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And now Paul says, don't go back into that darkness. Don't go back to that old way of living. Chapter 5, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Don't go back to that. Because of these things, you have to go back to chapter 4. These things, the things that you saw in that old picture, you know, lying and not speaking the truth, getting angry and then going to bed with your anger, stealing instead of working, foul and abusive language, all kinds of nasty talk, bitterness, harsh words, slander. These things, he says, don't go back to that darkness. Because of these things, the things that he's just talked about now at the beginning of chapter 5, things that characterize not love, walking in love, but things that characterize lust. You know, coveting somebody else's wife or coveting somebody else's husband, pornography. Television shows, movies that constantly try to convince you that sexual looseness is the new normal, that this is how everybody lives, and so it's okay to engage in that kind of behavior. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, and he says that's being an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. At one time you were darkness. Now don't go back to that. Now you are light. And again, not just now you are walking in the light, you are light. This is your new identity. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, he says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. This is your identity. You've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and you've been transferred to the kingdom of light. You've heard the joyful sound of the gospel. Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. He's probably quoting a hymn that they used to sing in their worship services. Christ is shining. Now you are light. Now you are light. This is your new identity. Full of light and fully alive in Jesus Christ. You know, God in sovereign grace looked at you in your darkness, in the death, in emptiness, and said, "Let there be light." And the life of Christ appeared in you. And God looks at that, looks at you, and says, "That is very good." Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Thirdly, there's a warning here about the darkness. He's using this as a contrast, darkness and light. He wants us to understand that even as children of light, the darkness is still a danger for us. It's not a safe place. We're seated in the heavenly places in Christ, but where are we living? We're still down here on earth, and there will always be some darkness that threatens our safety. For the past 3 years now, Libby and I have been able to go and travel a little bit in Europe. And we'll spend a month or so, and always, not so much the sights, we look for little towns where we can go and stay and just kind of soak up the culture. But before I go, I'll call Lee Clark, or I will go online and check out Travel Advisor or Wiki Travel, or even go to the U.S. government website that gives warnings about what's going on in various countries, because I just want to be safe. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and I just want to check things out. And the advice is always the same, and it's very good advice even for here at home. Stay away from places where rowdy people tend to gather. You know, you don't want to get in between two warring soccer teams, for instance. Be aware of your surroundings. Don't travel alone. Be careful when you go out, especially at night. Watch out for dark streets. Go out and have fun, but be vigilant. Always be watching. And here Paul is saying something similar to us with verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Let no one deceive you. Now that means that there's somebody out there that's going to try. I mean, that's why he's saying this. Be vigilant. Watch out. Let no one deceive you. Let no one entice you to go back into the darkness. Now, who might want to deceive us? You know, it's too easy to say, well, it's the liberals, it's that other political party, or it's this faction in our country, or somebody that's doing that. You know, an obvious problem. You know, there's no way we're going to listen to them. You know, it could be a friend. It could just be a very good friend that you have. In Ephesus back then and in Charleston today, you become a Christian, but you still have friends in the world. There are people that you work with, and there are people that you have as neighbors. There's friendships that you've formed over the years. You know, you have less in common now that you are a Christian, but you're still friends. But they might get tired of your new life. And they might just say, why don't you lighten up just a little bit? Why are you always being so strict? Have some fun. Loosen up. Don't be so strict. Girls just want to have fun. You know, it's not going to hurt to go and fool around just a little bit. You know, and that comes from a friend who's simply wanting to be a friend with you, but they're using deceptive speech to try to draw you into some kind of darkness. It could be a family member trying to argue the same thing. Don't be such a religious fanatic. It's okay to get up on Sunday morning if you want to do that and go to church, even if it's a whole lot of things that you have to do in line in order to get to church. Go ahead and do that. But lighten up for the rest of the week. Think about Job in the Old Testament. You know, and Job had these friends, gave him advice. You know, which of Job's friends gave him the hardest time? It was his wife. It was his best friend. Job, why don't you just curse God and die? You're not getting anything out of this relationship with God. Why are you being faithful with him? It could be a family member, a loved one, who just has a distorted way of thinking about something and tries to entice you into some kind of behavior that, as Paul calls it, is simply not fitting for saints. And so Paul warns us, don't let anyone, don't let your friends, don't let family pull you back into the darkness. Don't let anyone tell you that you can be a Christian and you can still disobey God when you want to. Be vigilant. Be aware of your surroundings. Watch out for the darkness. And don't let anyone deceive you. And then finally, there's the challenge here to walk as children of light. He wants us to look at this picture, the light. You are light in the Lord. Now walk as children of light. Don't ignore the before picture. Don't ignore the old picture when you were in darkness, but don't keep that picture on top. You know, pictures used to come on pieces of paper. Anybody remember this? You know, they're all on your device now. But pictures used to come on a little piece of paper. You could take them out and look at them. You have a stack of pictures. Now you put it as your screensaver or, you know, wallpaper on your computer, your favorite picture. Don't put the old picture up there where you're always looking at it. Go and look at it. Don't be afraid to look at it. Pull it out from time to time, but keep the other picture on top. Keep the picture of the new you right in front of you where you're seeing that most of the time. Keep the picture of you as a child of light in front of you and in full view, and see how bright and happy you are. See how wonderful your Father is and the resemblance that you have with your Father. See how you're loved by him. See the strength and the grace of Christ that is in you. And then live in the joyful light of that reality. I'm glad that that's who I am now. I don't ever want to look like that picture again. This is who I am. And so walk as children of light. And let the light in you give birth to all that is good and right and true. You know, all that is good, all that blesses the people that will be a blessing to the people around you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. All that is right, all that is fair and just and reasonable, all that is true, honest, dependable, trustworthy, faithful. And then Paul says, keep trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. The Bible tells us what's pleasing to the Lord, right? But what the Bible gives us is general principles. Walk in love. It's up to you to discern what is that going to look like in my life as I go from day to day. What's it going to look like in the classroom? And what's it going to look like in the workplace? What is this going to look like at the grocery store? What is this going to look like in my marriage? What's it going to look like for this good and righteous and true behavior? Pleasing the Lord. Keep trying to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That takes prayer. It takes wisdom. It takes patience. And you'll find that some good Christian friends will be able to help you discern what is pleasing to the Lord. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, as his children, as children of light, walk in holiness, in love, and in the light. Let's pray.